celebrate your anniversary every month and make it a game to see who remembers first. And it has to be a live voice, can be on the phone, but no text messaging, tweeting, or any of that. It's got to be live. And my wife and I have been married for 30 years. That has helped to keep our romance alive. Thanks.
Keeping it alive, doing the next right one thing, celebrating your marriage every day. I love it. Hey, man, thank you for sharing that. Great way to start the show today. Dr. Randy from Intentional Living. Here's the question we're putting out on the table for you all. What is it that makes your marriage last? If you were to think of one thing, really practical thing that you and your spouse do or an attitude that you maintain that makes a difference and maybe has allowed you to be together 20, 30, 40 years or more and in a loving relationship, what is it? Today, a very encouraging half hour here at Intentional Living. I am Dr. Randy, and we're talking about marriages that last. We've got some great stories from our archives we're going to be sharing with you today on the program. But I would love to hear from you live on our storyline, our comment line, to tell us what one thing is it that helps your marriage to last so we can listen to your comments and get some of these on the air here in the days ahead. So give us a call. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. My wife, Donna, and I have been married a lot of years. And I think when we talk about what makes it last, obviously we have love for each other, patience. And I think that that commitment that just says, hey, we've made a commitment for a lifetime. And when we keep that back door closed and locked, which means that we're not having an exit plan every day, whenever things get tough or difficult, we're looking for a way out, that helps a great deal because then it forces you to stop and think and pray and get back into the marriage and talk about things and work things through and realize that in the long run, hey, it's going to be a lot better. In fact, the research is clear. Those that are struggling in marriage, if they're willing to stay and commit and work through the issues, even though they may be difficult, will tell you 2 or 3 years later it was the best decision they made. People who bail because things aren't working out the way they think often have regrets later on. So here's the question. What one thing has made your marriage last?
If you treated your marriage like your car, you'd have a better marriage. Do you ever look at your relationship and think, why doesn't it feel the same way it did when we were first married? Maybe it's because we don't do the same things we did when we were first married. How long has it been since you've written your sweetheart a letter? When's the last time you took a weekend and went away with just the two of you? Have you gotten in the habit of taking the things your person does for you for granted? Look at it like this. You'd never skip getting the oil changed in your car and expect it to run well after a year. Why do we do that with our marriages? Read some books, talk with a counselor, or just start getting romantic and see what happens. It could be your marriage needs a tune-up. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Hey, thank you, Doctor. Dr. Greg, appreciate it. You know, using that analogy, it seems like we're in this car analogy here. The other day I was driving from one place to another, and I stopped, and I got out of the car, and I heard this psst. I thought, hey, the guy parked next to me, he's got a flat tire, I bet. It wasn't the guy next to me, it was me. My tire had got a sidewall, you know, metal in it or something, and it was psst, and it was going down fast. I thought, okay. So I backed up a little bit and it stopped. So I went and did, I must have pushed on it the right way. So I went and did what I had to do. I thought, you know, the tire place where I get my tires happened to be only a mile away. So I hurried up and drove over there and just got in the driveway and it was gone. And I had to get a new tire. And I think sometimes, as an analogy for marriage, sometimes we get the slow leaks. You get that kind of blowout. Boy, we all hear about those. Counselors, every counselor, pastor listening, you've been there when the blowout occurred or shortly thereafter. And the marriage car, as it were, came to a screeching halt. But we ignore the slow leaks. Psst, you know, just a little bit of air coming out of the marriage. And so we put some back in and leak some more, put some back in. It's a good time to say, hey, maybe it's time to pull the tire off and see what the problem is. Deal with it. We're talking very specifically today about things that make marriage last. We've got a lot of calls coming in I'm going to get to in just a moment. Let me give you the first three on my list. Number one is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Keeping short accounts. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not be angry and then sin, Paul says. You can be angry, but don't sin. Don't allow anger to turn to sin, which in part is not dealing with the issue. In fact, we're even instructed not to go to bed angry. Forgiveness. Powerful. If you can't forgive, which is a mature thing to do, and deal with forgiveness in your marriage, it's going to compound, it's going to build up, all the garbage and junk is going to build until it oozes out and you can't deal with it. Number two is just absolute commitment. You got to eliminate the divorce option. As long as you keep those exits available at any time for any circumstance, it's going to be easy to take it someday. Now, I know divorce happens, and I know there are biblical reasons that divorce will happen, but let's face it, we don't live in a culture that is limited just to that. It's limited. It seems to be expanding in our culture to I'm just not happy, or my needs aren't being met, or any number of things. Commitment. Commitment. Number three on my list of top 10 is shared values. When you're on the same page spiritually in prayer, attending church together, sharing values about money, about kids, about your life, it makes it a lot easier. Shared values, certainly something that helps marriages last, getting on the same page. While opposites attract, it's the similarities in our values that tend to hold us together. So there's three. I've got seven more I'll get to here during this time. All right, let me get some calls on, hear from you guys. What have you learned? What makes your marriage last? Up first, Jerry from New Mexico. Hey, Jerry.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the program. 43 years today you've been married, it says.
43 years today.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir. That's a great task for my wife putting up with me that long. But yeah. Like you said.
I understand, man. I've been there. Yeah. I understand. So what have you learned? What is it that, given you 43 years, do you think?
Stay close to God, being a Christian, going to church together all the time and reading the Bible and grandkids. After them grandkids come along, yeah. It was time. It's all it took.
Yeah.
them grandkids, we raised out three kids. I got a son that's in the Army for 18 years. He's an E-8. He's in Kuwait right now. And I got two daughters. One of them is a nurse, and the other one is a school teacher. She's married to a Air Force.
And they're so, military North family.
Carolina. And the children, if the children do good, it seems to make the family stay together.
You know, I think you're right, Jerry. We know the research is pretty clear. When families get under tremendous stress because of problems with kids, and today it could be addiction or any number of things, it puts enormous stress on marriages. We find out what's in a marriage, much like we find out what's in a tea bag, only when it gets in hot water. And sometimes a marriage that gets into hot water when the things are really going rough in the marriage really brings out what's in there. And the fact that it sounds like you've stayed the course with, you know, commitment, staying close to Christ, staying in church, it's these things that apparently, or appear rather, to be simple on the outside, are really essential to the inside of what makes a marriage work long term. Okay, my friend. Thank you, Jerry. I got to move on. Thank you for your call from New Mexico.
All right. Thank you.
All right, my friend.
Because it's my anniversary.
And congratulations. 43 years for you guys today. All right. Down the road, Craig is listening to Intentional Living. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What makes marriage last?
I tell you, marriage is easy. You know, it really is. If you have good communications between you and your wife, you know, don't get me wrong, we still have our ups and downs, but, you know, if you could talk about it, I mean, you can do anything you want with talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm married now 2 years. I mean, my first marriage didn't work out. It lasted 18 years. Didn't work out.
You didn't communicate. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Well, you're right. Communication is a key. In fact, there's a book written by a longtime counselor, Norm Wright, says communication is the key to marriage. If communication isn't just one direction, if communication is truly trying to understand each other, get on the table the issues, that becomes essential. It's an essential part of what makes marriage last, for sure. Okay, Craig, thank you. Appreciate your contribution today.
You,
God bless you, my friend.
God bless
All
you.
Right.
Thank you for letting me tell you.
You're very welcome. By the way, communication is on my list as well. It's number 6, healthy communication on the top 10 list. What's one thing you've learned through maybe years of marriage that you found have made marriage last? 888-888-1717 is my number, 888-888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Sonia from Alabama. Listen to your show every day in the afternoon. Just wanted to thank you for being on and for pointing out all the ways that we can be intentional. As far as our marriage goes, my husband and I, we haven't been married very long. But one of the biggest things is we go through these cycles where we'd have a conflict and we'd try to solve it and it just wouldn't work. It was always a lose-lose situation. So recently we started going to counseling and it has helped point out a lot of things, and we've started working on lifting up our marriage and being just very intentional about making this work and doing what God would have us to do. And just wanted to say thank you and have a blessed week.
You're welcome. Thank you for telling us. You know, a couple more things from my list. Talked about forgiveness, commitment, shared values. Number 4 is personal maturity. Can I put it this way? Growing up should marry. You got to grow up. There's a lot of things in a marriage that will be offensive at times, irritating, and you look at your teenagers, you look at your kids, and they don't take irritation very well. They want what they want when they want it. Don't generally stop and try to feel the needs of everybody else in the room. And to be successful, really, to be successful long-term in marriage, you got to have personal responsibility. You got to grow up. Number 5 on my list is love and all the long list that comes with it from 1 Corinthians 13, patience, kindness, keeping no record of wrong. So when I use the word love, that's not just an emotional word to me. Biblically, you see it as an active word. It's an action. Patience, kindness, reaching out. I mean, read it if you haven't. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. All right, there's the top 5. I got more I'll try to get to here. We'll see how we can get through all these calls. Let's go to Wisconsin. Samantha, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Appreciate your call. Tell me about marriages that last. What have you learned?
Sorry. My kids are noisy. I learned very early on in our marriage that I had a picture in my head of who I thought he should be and who I thought, you know, he was. And, you know, I just had to learn to accept and love who he was completely, his faults. That, you know, he wasn't maybe the perfect person that I thought he was, and, you know, I wasn't perfect. So, you know, we just kind of had to learn to accept each other completely.
So you got married with a whole set of expectations in your mind.
Yeah, I was young.
Yeah, in fact, number 7 on my list and number 1 often in my teaching for couples is expectations whenever they're greater than reality equals disappointment.
Yeah, and it was really hard the first few years for me to finally come to that conclusion that I was holding him to higher standards than what I should have been.
And that's the tricky thing, because we want to have standards, obviously, in marriage. We don't just tolerate anything in marriage.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
but we can get picky,
get me wrong,
can't we?
A great guy.
Yeah, we can get picky, though, can't we?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. How long have you been married now, did you say?
9 years.
All right. So what you've learned, Samantha, is to be realistic with the expectations and love them anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
think that's
key. I've learned to forgive a lot easier.
Yes, it is. All right, Samantha, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Glad you're listening. Wisconsin. Let's move over the lake to Michigan. Debbie's on the line. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about intentional love and a marriage that lasts?
Well, Bill and I have been married for 37 years. And what we really come down to many times is that we promised each other when we took the vows before God we gave our word that we were going to work through whatever happened. So that meant health and money and the kids and special needs and the politics and all the pressure from family. There were a couple of times when we stood across the line and we really thought that that was as far as we were willing to go. But, you know, we'd both stop and we'd both look at each other and say, you know, we promised God, that when we get to this place, that number one, we'd trust him, and number two, we'd work through it. And so far, 37 years into it, God has not failed us. He's always provided the answer as long as we waited.
That's good. Listen, I think the message, Debbie, we're hearing from all the callers today, it comes back to these basics of forgiveness and commitment, communication, loving one another, faithfulness. Anybody getting married today, I hope you're listening as you're thinking about getting married, that these messages wouldn't discourage you, but they would put it into perspective in terms of, hey, there are things we need to learn before we get married, because the reality is marriage can be very difficult. I mean, you think about it. About 40% of marriages, 50% of first-time marriages will ultimately end in divorce. Even within the church, Christian marriages, the statistics are much better. What I've read, they're closer to, what, 20%, but think of it, 20% is still not an exciting number. We can do better, and we do better when we really stay focused on the things that work to be intentional in our marriage. All right, Debbie, thank you for your call. We're talking marriages that last. More calls, a few more from my top 10 list right here. Don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
If you're primarily a head person, meaning that you see life primarily through logic, bottom line, facts, that's sort of the default that you'll slip into when there's an issue in life, the question is, how is it impacting your life? And one of the things those of us that are head people need to watch out for is that we can appear to other people as being uncaring, which isn't always true. We care, but the fact is we just jump from feeling to solution sometimes too quickly. That's an excerpt from the teaching. I'm excited about it for this month, and it's on the topic of your window to the world. And there's really three different windows that I'm considering this month. And you just heard me talk about head people, those of us who see life from a thinking process, analytical, bottom line, solution focused, kind of the way we process life. That's our default. When something happens, we want to analyze it. And then, of course, heart people tend to gravitate toward feelings, sensitivity, connecting heart to heart. And then hand people, they're the ones who say, let's get it done. Let's not talk about it. Let's just get it done. It's there. It's got to be done. Let's do it. You know, we need all three. They shattered there in Genesis at the fall of man and woman. And it's created a problem in marriage and relationships ever since. I do a teaching this month that will help you and encourage you and be very instructive, I think, on your window to the world. Which one are you? And by the way, it's going out to all of our current members, plus new members, those of you that are joining us today. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for your monthly support. Thank you for joining in. Your monthly support is going to allow us to reach more people for Christ. Come and be a part of Intentional Living Community today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Please click on that button. We'll get this teaching to you this month as a way of saying thank you for being a part of Intentional Living.
In our social media crazed world, isn't it nice that there's a place to encourage your intentional life?
I find something new every morning when I visit.
I get great nuggets of encouragement. Some of the comments are amazing.
The Intentional Living Facebook page is here for you to help you stay intentional, to encourage you, and let you know that in your walk, you're really not alone.
It's the one place on Facebook I actually like seeing show up on my wall.
Find out what's on today's show and join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like today.
There you go. Thank you. Hey, listen, we are giving to you today, free of charge, as you listen, some of the keys, the secrets to unlock an intentional marriage that will last. I have my own top 10 list. We've touched on most of them by the calls that are coming in, confirmation of the top 10 list. And they work. And it comes down to really staying focused on doing what God's intention is for marriage. So let's hear what others want to weigh in on this. Let's go, let me see here. Let's go to Sandra in New Mexico. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about lasting marriages?
Oh, well, number one is putting God in your marriage first. It's praying together. It's reading the Bible together. It's having trust in your partner, loyalty, integrity. The biggest factor is forgiveness in a marriage. Mm-hmm. We've been married 26 years. It's not been perfect. It's been a roller coaster ride of children having problems. We've dealt with pornography, infidelity in our marriage. Right now, he's battling a dementia and is in a nursing home for long term.
Oh,
and it's just being there for him and to love one another regardless of your situation. And just have your faith in the Lord that he's got your back, that he won't leave you nor forsake you.
Mm. So you haven't come to this conclusion from walking down a pathway filled with roses and lilies. You've been down a pathway of some pretty difficult cul-de-sacs, yes, and ruts in the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There are a lot of snags in the road, but if you love one another and you base your marriage on God, then he will see you through it.
Mm. Amen to that. Thank you, Sandra. We'll be praying for your husband. What's his first name?
His name is James.
I hope people will be praying for James and for Sandra today. Thank you for sharing your intentional story today.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
All right. Appreciate it. Is Frank on line three? Okay. Frank?
This is Frank.
Okay, gotcha. I wasn't sure which line you were on there. Found you. Appreciate your call. What have you learned, Frank?
Well, kind of multiple things. I kind of summarize them. One of the things is that we've been married 35 years,
mm-hmm,
and it took a while to learn this. I was mentioned to the other gentleman earlier, but this notion of just watching out for each other's needs. I think that, you know, what we do is people, we tend to be selfish,
yeah,
and we tend to be other-ish, thinking of the other person and their needs, their wants. So my wife is very good at that, and from that, I think I've learned also. I get up in the morning, and this is no lie, every morning, my coffee's in front of me with my creamer, not an expectation, but she does it. I do things for her. So always looking for things to do the other one to please the other one.
Mm.
And I think that's a big key, but just, you know, you care about each other's needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is before we go to bed, every other night we take a turn who says the prayer first, but we always pray for the entire family. And one of the things we say in our prayer, I think is very important, is a part of that prayer is that protect everybody from harm and danger. And I think that has played out in our family. You know, I see none of my family, you know, thank God to now, has been any kind of major harm and danger, even though they've been in minor accidents or whatever. So the prayer is just prayers together and also just be looking out for each other's needs.
Mm.
I would think that'd be a big part of it.
That's good. Listen, you're doing the things that make a difference. You know, I think of the passage, it says in the New Testament, think not only of your own interests, but also the interest of another. And the other, in a marriage context, would be your spouse. Powerful thing to do, for sure. All right, Frank, appreciate your call. Talking marriage today, you can join the discussion on Facebook if you'd like. Go to Facebook/intentionalliving. That's who we are. Or you can come on right through to our website where we've got a lot of helpful resources for you, including where you can listen to the broadcasts, this one or any broadcast. Just come to theintentionallife.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was commenting on how I've been intentional in my marriage. And my husband and I have had a lot of issues, I guess, prior to us getting married. We've been married almost 7 years now. And one thing that I've learned personally is three things. I have to pray all the time. And I also pray that God would tell me when to speak, because sometimes things have to be expressed or your spouse might not know how you feel about them. I pray for God to tell me when I should be silent, because sometimes I talk too much. And then I also pray, we pray together that we grow closer to God, sort of like the triangle concept, the closer we get to God, the closer we're going to get to each other. So I hope that blesses someone. And thank you so much, Dr. Randy, for the information that you give us from God's perspective. Thank you.
Glad to do it. And you know, there's a lot of wisdom there with only 7 years of marriage. And I love that triangle kind of a picture. The closer you get to God at the top, the closer you get to each other. And that's a powerful thing. We've heard and we've taught over the years how opposites attract. There's something appealing to a person who's different than we are. There's weaknesses in our life and we're often attracted to another person. One of the things we know, however, is that long-term marriages that seem to function better, have at the core similarities with the things that matter most: values, beliefs, goals, desires. It's not that we're not individuals or have our own desires. That's not the point. The point is, when you get two people in a marriage and one is going that way in their religion and another person is going this way and growing their faith in Christ, and they're not on the same page, I'll tell you what, that creates a real negative dynamic in the relationship. And that can be true about raising kids, not on the same page about money, not on the same page about sex, about in-laws, about leaving and cleaving. All of these issues can create some really powerful and difficult dynamics. We'd love to hear your comments about what are some things that have made your marriage last for many years. 888-888-1717.
Dr. Randy, I've been married for 30 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. She's my best friend. We lost a child 5 years ago that was 20 years old. And the only way you make it through life like that and have a strong marriage is with Christ in it. And I thank you for it. Bye.
Well, you know, when I hear your story, I'm reminded that when we have these oh-no moments in life, one of two things can happen in a marriage. Either there's been a bedrock foundation in the marriage relationship, you know, it gets a test for sure, but it doesn't collapse, it doesn't crack, it doesn't disappear. Or, on the other hand, if the marriage is not strong, those oh-no moments in life can be all that it takes to shove that marriage over or destroy it. And so can I encourage you, as that gentleman, to do one thing: build a strong foundation in your marriage, in prayer and time together, purpose and goals, and just making it clear this is why we're here and this is where we stand. It's a great way to close the show today as we think about marriages that last. His and his wife's marriage lasts because the two of them are standing on that firm foundation and doing it together. That's really a goal. And if you're not there today, you know it. And if you're not, you can build a firmer foundation. Work on it. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy. Gotta run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.